What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms, so wherever you get your podcast from, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on Twitter /X. That's Sports Business. That's SPORTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. So that's SPORTZBIZNESS@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about our weekend, week 14, winners and losers. We're going to talk about our NBA fast break takes. And then before we get up out of here, we're going to do the dummy of the day. But first things first, on a serious note, for those of you who don't know, your boy lives here in Las Vegas. And I actually worked at UNLV as soon as I got out of the military back in 2017-ish, 2018-ish. And my first job as soon as I got out of the Army was at UNLV. Now, if everyone knows, last week UNLV had a shooting event where three faculty members ended up getting shot by a senseless shooter. The dude applied for a job, he didn't get the job. Sounds like he tried to roll up to the place and give a piece of his mind, which I guess he did in the long run. But Las Vegas is very near and dear to my heart, and, you know, the fact that it happened at my previous employer at UNLV makes it even more sad. But I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers out to everybody. I'm very, 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 very in tune, in line with my UNLV community. There would be no Sports Business Podcast if it wasn't for me working at UNLV, based off the connections I was able to make there, based off of seeing the studios and things like that they had there for me to even use. So I'm heartbroken, sad, but I also think about my coworkers that I've been in contact with, you know, not just the days that it happened. I believe it happened on Wednesday, but just keeping in line and checking on them the days after, because that's when things kind of settle in and kick in when something like that happens. But to hear people tell me some of their stories that they dealt with during that tumultuous time is something that I can't even imagine. So definitely want to send my thoughts and prayers out to the folks over at UNLV, as well as the Las Vegas community. But unfortunately, this ain't something that we've dealt with as a whole, and we're gonna bounce back even stronger than what we did back in 2017. So we'll be all right. Now, with that being said, your boy actually went back home to the Bay Area this weekend, hung out with my friends, family, and my homie Daniel talked me into flying out to San Francisco and going to watch the Devin Haney fight this past Saturday. Got to see a lot of good people. Glad to see a lot of people are doing good. But ran into a lot of people I haven't seen in 15, 20 years, so it was really, really good to catch up with them, chop it up with them and whatnot. But the Devin Haney fight, I think that was the first fight in San Francisco, I believe, since Floyd Mayweather fought there. My man, you know, he had over 16,000 people that actually showed up. I know that they opened up the upper deck and sold those seats, because initially it was just the lower deck, the lower bowl seats that were available for sale. But, you know, Devin Haney, I know he's trying to build a fan base. Wasn't the outcome that I thought. Even though he won, I thought that he needed to put on a masterpiece, being the fact that all of a sudden he wants to claim he's from the Bay Area again, which is weird. But, you know, he did his thug dizzle and he made it happen. But little disappointed, but nevertheless, we got the result that we wanted, and it is what it is. But shout out to everybody for making the trip back home. Always a great one. Always got to see good peoples, hanging out with homies, family, and everything else in between. So Bay Area never disappoints, and I'll be out there sooner than later. Now, I was looking over my notes yesterday as I landed and started prepping for the show this morning, and I happened to peep that there's two Monday Night Football games going on at the same time, where we got the Packers and the Giants, and I want to say the Titans and the Dolphins. Hey man, we've had enough horrible primetime football games as it is. We don't need to keep piling on more primetime football. Like, why are we having two Monday Night Football games on at the same time with, I would say, two out of the four teams are trash, and one out of the two teams that ain't is just, they cool. Like, what are we doing? Like, they cut it out. Cut out the primetime games, and if you're going to put something on primetime, make it more meaningful, okay? just stop with this nonsense. Now I got to stop what I'm doing, which I'm probably not going to watch the Dolphins against the Titans. But then what's the other? Here's the thing. If you're going to put on two primetime games, at least make it worth watching. Like, you got the Dolphins and the Titans where, okay, you got the Dolphins. But then the other, or the latter is the Giants and the Packers. Like, who the hell wants to watch that? Like, what? Stop. Stop the madness. Just stop it, NFL. Now, with that being said, we're going to do our week 14 winners and losers. My first set of winners goes out to the Cincinnati Bengals. Hey, man. Cincinnati beat the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. Even without Joe Burrow, they got this kid, Jake Browning, who's making the things happen, which I thought that they were going to be. I thought the Indianapolis Colts, even though they've had Gardner Minshew for this entire season, for the majority of the season, I thought that they, you know, riding on, I think, on a nice little winning streak, were going to be able to beat the Bengals. I thought the Bengals had a little emotional high game, even with Trevor Lawrence being out, getting knocked out of that game. I thought that the magic had ran out on the Bengals, but apparently it's not. Like, they're still in the driver's seat. If the playoffs started today, they would be in the playoffs. So, or if the regular season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. So good for them. But, you know, Jake Browning's making things happen. T. Higgins had a couple of great balls. Joe Mixon made things happen. They got that running back number 30, Chase Brown, who's looking like a real promising young dude. So they got some things that they're working with. So Bengals definitely get my week 14 winners. Second set, I can't stop. I mean, the 49ers are light years ahead of the NFL. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They ended up taking care of business against Seattle, which initially when I was flying home yesterday on my flight, I was like, man, that's giving me trap game vibes based off the fact that they just beat the brakes off the Eagles last week. It was a highly profile game. High emotions was involved. And usually on a game like that, the following week, you got somewhat of a letdown. And they came out the blocks a little slow, but they ended up getting things together. DK Metcalf lost his composure and getting thrown out the game, but the game was kind of already decided at that time. But just really impressed with the 49ers. I mean, their point differential, I think, is highest in the league, or second highest in the league at 175, right behind the Cowboys. And like I said, I don't really be a huge fan of the QBRs and quarterback ratings and winch. Like, no. Right around this time of the season, point differential usually tells me what I need to tell. Right now, the 49ers are second behind the Cowboys at a plus 175. The Cowboys at a plus 188. After that, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens at a plus 143. The Miami Dolphins are at a plus 118. That's pretty good. Then you also got the Philadelphia Eagles that are at like a plus 21, which means that they cool. They good, but what's the difference between the Minnesota Vikings last year where they had a whole bunch of one-possession game wins as well? So 49ers make things happen. Debo Samuel had another great game. Brock Purdy, I know there's a lot of MVP talk. I still got Christian McCaffrey. I mean, it was the first play of the game. He ripped off a 70-some yard run. Should have punched that into the house, but he's, I think, leading the league in rushing this year. Also leading the league in touchdowns with 17. So, this is, if not this year for the 49ers, then what? You know, so shout out to the Niners for making it happen. My next set is the Cleveland Browns. I can't believe I'm saying the Cleveland Browns, but another team with Jose Flacco, who, between me and you, I don't know where this man been, but Jose Flacco looking like he on the 2012 Baltimore Ravens out here slinging that thing and made it happen against a pretty decent Jacksonville Jaguars team. And I know the Jaguars had Trevor Lawrence, who's coming off of a miraculous recovery with that. I thought he was going to be out for the rest of the year. I ain't going to lie. I even made a social media post like, hey, the Houston Texans might be able to sneak in the back door if Trevor Lawrence is out for the rest of the year. And this dude only came back just to play again literally the week later. So, and it was a short week for them. So, shout out to them for making it happen. But, hey, I don't know how far Jose Flacco can take these boys. It sounds like Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, is riding with Jose Flacco. We've seen how these, these backup quarterbacks have come in the league this year. I think we're at like 13 or 14 different starting quarterbacks this year, which is one of the all-time highs. You know, between Josh Dobbs, Tommy DeVito, Aiden O'Connell, these quarterbacks come in for a flash of pan and they have two good games, but after that, they fizzle out. So I don't know how long Jose Flacco can keep the momentum going, but you know, just for week 14 purposes, we'll give him that dub. I believe in the Cleveland Browns. No, why? Because it's the Cleveland Browns. But this week, they get a pass. Next set is, hey man, Zach Wilson. That is my win, week 14 winner. Y'all wanted to clown that man, especially you New York media people. You all wanted to clown Zach Wilson, sitting there saying that he's the problem, he's the problem, he's the problem. And then there was some scuttlebutt this earlier this week of or last week saying that there was some reluctancy on Zach Wilson's part on him not wanting to be the starting quarterback. No, duh, he don't want to go back there and play for that offensive line. Y'all sat there and threw that man around, threw his name in the mud, blamed it all on him, like he was the worst quarterback known to mankind. And what did he do yesterday? He shredded the Houston Texans defense. And granted, it was inclement, you know, bad weather. C.J. Stroud didn't get knocked out of the game. But the Houston Texans defense, it's still a pretty good defense. They're still a reputable defense. And he made it happen, especially in the second half after a 0-0 tie. For them to be able to put up 20-some-odd points in the second half, that ain't nothing to flinch at, y'all. To put up 30 points in the second half is nothing to flinch at. My man literally had the best game of his career. Didn't turn the ball over. Threw for over 300 yards. And y'all still got the nerve to sit there and talk about that man like a dog. Like, clearly, is he the best quarterback? Is he an elite quarterback? No, he's not an elite quarterback. He ain't even top 20. But what he is he's a quarterback. And I think that if y'all just didn't give up on him so fast, his confidence wouldn't have been rocked. You could talk about the offense being trash all you want. Not letting y'all, I mean, I get it. It's bad. But hey, some of it's got to be blamed on coaching. Some of it's got to be blamed on offensive line. Some of it has to be also be blamed on the players. Like, hey, y'all ain't making plays. Y'all not holding your blocks good enough. Y'all not running through them holes hard enough. But for y'all to just literally dump this all on Zach Wilson, like, it is this man's fault. Y'all go get into some dude named Tim Boyle, and he played just like his name, like a big-ass Boyle, and then cut him the next week, and then y'all be like, oh, yeah, Zach, y'all want to come back? No, I'd have told y'all to kiss my ass, too, if I was Zach Wilson. So, no, I don't blame him for having that game, for having that attitude, if that is true. And then for him to come in and actually even and light up the field the second half of the game, shout out to you, Zach Wilson. Hey, I don't know what this means for your future, but hey, I've seen a lot of stranger things happen where quarterbacks have gotten paid off of one game. So I don't know. Maybe you might get the bag next season because it ain't going to be with the Jets. I can tell you that. And my next set goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, man, I was talking to somebody today, actually, before I was recording the show, and he sent me a text message. It was like, do I believe in CeeDee Lamb? I was like, no, not really. Is he having a great year this year? Yeah. Is his best year as a pro? Yeah. But I need to see more of this in December or in January. Like, I need to see this in playoff football. He's had two good games against primetime players, and they've against big-time teams, and they just both happened to be against the Philadelphia Eagles. What was he doing against San Francisco? Nothing. What did he do against the Arizona Cardinals? Nothing. So I need to see him when the lights shine a little bit brighter. Did he have a good game last week against the Seattle Seahawks? Sure. But like I said, give it to me when the games mean meaningful. Now, with that being said, I didn't think the Cowboys were going to just smoke the Philadelphia Eagles the way they did, especially at home, being able to cause three turnovers, and they were like punch-out fumbles too, which was really, really impressive with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith all cuffing up the ball yesterday. That was pretty impressive with the defense. I was really more impressed with the defense than I was with the offense. And do I think the Cowboys are elite? No, I don't think they. I mean, they're probably the second best team in the NFC, and possibly the second best team in football behind the San Francisco 49ers. But it's hard for me to even say that because the last time we saw those two teams play each other, the Cowboys got ran off the field. They're like, it wasn't even a close game. So I can't sit here and put all my eggs in one basket when it comes to the Cowboys, because when they did play the goons called the 49ers, they got smoked. So they beat the Eagles. Now they're ahead in their division. They kind of control their destiny, but they got a couple of tough games coming up. I know they play Buffalo this upcoming week, and they still also got to play Detroit, I think. And then they got to play Lionel Richie and the Commodores as well to end out the season. So there's still some time for the Cowboys to prove their worth. But for them to be able to beat the brakes off the Eagles like they did last night, that was probably their hallmark win. Like, I know last week was a very, very interesting win against the Seahawks. It was high scoring, a lot of high drama game. But for them to just come in this week and just beat the drum off them boys was pretty wild to see. And my last game, week 14 winners, is the Baltimore Ravens. Hey, man, I've been a little iffy on the Ravens all year long. And I know they play the LA Rams in a shootout game. But for them to be able to come out in the fourth quarter and actually finally win a game, against the Rams. That was pretty impressive, especially with a walk-off punt return the way they did. Lamar Jackson had a pretty good game. OBJ looking like he's not going to say his old self, but he's looking very OBJ-ish with how he's been receiving the ball, catching the ball the last couple of games. So the Ravens, them missing Mark Andrews, it's going to hurt them. There's still a little bit of an outside chance that he will come back at the end of the season and beginning of the postseason. That is to be determined. But the Baltimore Ravens finally got them one where they were down in the fourth, where they didn't give up a fourth quarter lead. Well, they kind of did. But they were able to drug it up and get the dub and keep it pushing. Will that mean something for them in the future? Let's see what ends up happening, but good for them this time around. And now, the losers. I told y'all about the damn Detroit Lions. Somebody earlier this season was like, you know, everybody want to talk about the Cowboys, but don't nobody want to talk about the Detroit Lions. They're having a feel-good season. Hey, man, you've been in this business as long as a lot of people have been in this business. They know what they know. Cowboys draw ratings, the Detroit Lions don't. And yesterday was a prime example of why don't nobody care. Don't nobody give a damn about the Lions outside of the Detroit metropolitan area, okay? Outside of that, don't nobody care about some damn Detroit Lions. And yesterday was a exhibit A. You can't sit here and lose to the Chicago Bears and stay in the way that you lost to the Bears. I'm talking about the Bears. Justin Fields is out here looking like Michael Vick yesterday against this daunted Detroit Lions defense. While meanwhile, Jared Goff out here throwing picks, looking like Justin Fields earlier this season. So I'm not sold on the Detroit Lions. Like I said, the Detroit Lions are the team that's just going to have to win. And for me to believe, and even if they did win, I probably still wouldn't believe it because I would think that I'm high on drugs or something. And that ain't never going to happen. So until the Detroit Lions actually win something that's meaningful, I don't give a damn about the Detroit Lions. They have lost, they had a bad loss against Baltimore, had another bad loss in their division against the Bears, and the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, which was supposed to be like a homecoming, coming out game, to let everybody know that they're real, and all they've done is wet the bed. I don't know what this entails for them for the rest of the season, but I have zero faith in them, y'all. If the playoffs started today, I think they play the Eagles. They do not want to play the Eagles, even if it's at a home game. They ain't ready for that. They ain't ready for prime time. They're a cool little wild card team. And that's it. They should really be playing like Atlanta or a Tampa Bay, since nobody in NFC South wants to win that damn division. But they're not ready for primetime TV, y'all, and that's okay. But don't try to make it seem like the Lions are just this elite team when they ain't did nothing to prove it to y'all. So again, Detroit Lions, week 14 loses. My next set. I was at the bar when I was watching this, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing because everybody kept talking about this over and under with the Steelers and the Patriots being under 30, which was something crazy, the first time that's happened over 30 years. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing when I saw that score with this clock hitting zero, and the score was 21-18, and the New England Patriots had beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I really couldn't. And I don't know where this... I just don't know what the answer is, but it's definitely not Kenny Pickett. I can tell y'all that right now, Kenny Pickett is not a good quarterback. He is not elite, and I don't even think he's a top 16 quarterback in this league right now, even with a whole bunch of backups. He's a middle of the road, probably on the tail end type of quarterback. Why they sat there and wasted a first round draft pick on that clown, I don't know, but I think it's going to end up biting them in the butt on the backhand. But you can't lose to the Patriots at home on Thursday Night Football. Like, all the cards are in your favor. But I've always said all the time, strange things happen on Thursday Night Football, and this is 2 weeks in a row where strange things have happened. My next set of losers. Hey, man, Kansas City Chiefs. First of all, it really should just be Kadarius Toney. I can't... First of all, look here, y'all. The bettors, all y'all weird bettors that are complaining about, oh, they shouldn't have... they should have let that play go. That messed up my parlay. You know, everybody offsides. That's what the problem is. And this is why I feel like officiating is just under the gun a lot more than the last previous years. Is because the NFL did the deal with the devil. Sat and let all these fools from MGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, all that other nonsense. And now every little thing seems like it's the fixes in the script writers, this and that, you know, money on this, money on that. Oh, the ref had money on, like, y'all just need to shut the hell up. Watch the game for what it is. Put your little lunch money up and just watch the game. It's that simple. Now you've got Patrick Mahomes trying to go off on the referees about Travis Kelce's Hall of Fame career on a play that didn't even happen. What kind of stupid does that sound? The play didn't happen, dog, because your man's Kadarius Toney didn't even check with the referee to make sure if he was on the line or not. I done played football. I was with some college football players last weekend, and I'm telling y'all right now, all the wide receiver literally got to do is walk up to the line, point your finger at the ref, give him a nod. He'll either tell you you're good or you're not. They said, they meaning the wide receiver even confirmed, that he didn't even look over at the referee and just kept it pushing. That is a you problem. That is a you problem where you don't even know the basic rules or procedures on how to even line up as a wide receiver. He don't even know how to do that, y'all. And this is the second game this year this man has caused the team, the Kansas City Chiefs, a loss. And now you got Patrick Mahomes out here trying to defend Travis Kelce's Hall of Fame career over a play that didn't even happen because your man's was over the line and was lined up in the neutral zone. Hey, man, how about this? How about y'all play a little bit better? How about don't be down 14-0 before y'all got to sit there and make a comeback? How about we try that? You know, let's do that instead of trying to blame the refs on them doing their job. Anyways, moving on. The San Diego Chargers. Hey, man. I get it. Justin Herbert got hurt, but come on now. You can't... Until my man's Brandon Staley is fired, they will continue to be losers. And even when they do fire Brandon Staley, I don't even think that's going to be in time enough for them to be able to turn this franchise around. This team has been super duper disappointing. And even if you did let Justin Herbert got hurt, you can't, with that payroll on that defense, you can't be giving up the cheeks like they have the last couple of weeks. You can't give up 24 points like that at home to the Denver Broncos, which, granted, I get it. The Denver Broncos have been, I want to say, 5-1 since they got that shellacking by the Miami Dolphins when they got put up on that 70 spot. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not believe in the Denver Broncos at all. Like, I'm call me whatever you want to call me. That team is not that good. They're very, very limited on offense. Their defense has been able to keep them in games, but they're not that good. That Denver Broncos team is not that good. And for them, for the Chargers, even without a Justin Herbert team, they still got Austin Eckler. They still got Keenan Allen. You got Mac Jones, Derwin James. You know, you got stars. You know, all pro stars. And you out here just giving up the cheeks like that at home. This is clearly coaching. I don't know if the players are just tuned out and they're just ready to move on and just mail it in and go to Cancun at the end of the season. But something's off with this franchise where they just need a hard reset and just clean house and start all over. And my last set of winner losers are the Las Vegas Raiders. I have been a Raider fan practically all my life. I can't think of a time where the Raiders didn't score a single point in a football game. In 60 minutes, they didn't score a single point. Actually, all the way up until about 56 minutes, neither did the Minnesota Vikings. Am I happy that Josh McDaniels is gone? Cool. Am I happy that Antonio Pierce is there as a head coach? Absolutely. And this is not a knock on Antonio Pierce or the team that they got, but they are very, very limited based off the shindigs that Josh McDaniels had left the team, where they only got Aiden O'Connell, where they, you know, they can't go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, even though there's been some talks that they're going to revisit the quarterback room or quarterback situation for this Thursday's game. That was just downright pathetic. I mean, Minnesota's defense is decent, but the fact that the only time that the Raiders did get into the red zone, Hunter Renfro fumbled the ball. But I'm just like, y'all going to keep that same momentum going after you fumble the ball and you just run them same plays back or come up with a different concept where things are looking the same? Keep feeding Hunter Renfro the ball? I mean, Devontae Adams had 7 catches for 20-some yards. Like, they're not driving the ball down the field, y'all. And now you got Josh Jacobs that's hurt. I don't know if he's going to play this Thursday, but let's just say this. They're going to have a lot of questions to answer this upcoming offseason. they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Davante Adams, which I think he's going to be on his way out. It just makes sense for him if he wants to get a championship to be on his way out. You've won enough games where you're going to get a middle of the round, middle first round draft pick, probably anywhere between 8 to 12. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. I'm not sold on Drake May just because there's not enough film on him. So you're going to get a quarterback that you're going to take a chance on and then start this process all over again. So the Raiders got a lot of questions to answer, but dang, y'all going to score 1 point at home? Come on, man. Come on, man. And the crazy thing was, I was actually kind of being like, I hope this goes into overtime and then we just end in a 0-0 tie is what I was hoping would happen. But your boy Aiden O'Connell just had to trick the game off at the end of the night to make that happen. So the Las Vegas Raiders, you are definitely another set of Week 14 losers. Now, let's get into this NBA fast break takes, man. Now I am officially done with my silent protest over the stupid-ass in-season tournament. I'm going to ask you all a question. And then, you know, don't. This is a rhetorical question. Do y'all know who won the first ever NBA championship in 1947? Like, do y'all know any players that was on that team? I'm going to tell you right now, Wilt Chamberlain wasn't on that squad. Bill Russell wasn't on that squad. It was the Chicago Stags versus the Philadelphia Warriors. Do y'all know why I'm bringing that up? Because here we are 70-some-odd years later, and no one's going to give a monkey's ass who won the NBA in-season tournament for the first ever time. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. No one is going to care that LeBron James won the first ever in-season tournament 78 years later. Now, with that being said, I have another question to ask y'all. So now that the LA Lakers have won the NBA first ever NBA in-season tournament, the expectation is they better win the NBA championship then, right? Because if not, then what the hell was the point of this whole tournament? Oh, well, it was for the regular season to be more meaningful. The regular season should be meaningful because if you don't win regular season games, then you're not going to the playoffs. Oh, well, it was trying to get viewership up. Well, how about this? People are either going to watch or they're not going to watch. How about that? Now that people are now, you know, more than likely what's going to end up happening is, yes, the NBA play, you know, players did play a little bit more in these in-season tournament nights. What they're probably going to start doing is on the back end, they're going to start doing load management. So you basically just front-loaded all your non-load management nights and you're just backloading them probably after New Year's. Now, I also got this thing to tell y'all. Well, you know, it's a free trip to Vegas. Let me tell y'all something right now. LeBron James is not taking his ass down to Mandalay Bay at the High Limits table playing some blackjack, okay? He can't do that. He's LeBron James. Anthony Davis is not going down to Circus with his kids, going to the Venture Dome, all right? All y'all weirdos that are like, well, it's a free trip to Vegas. Get y'all AAU heads, get them AAU hats off of y'all heads and stop thinking it through your eyes and think of it through the NBA players' eyes. They don't have that resource. They have better resources than what we got. They're not going down to the High Limits table out here playing blackjack. They're not going down to the sports book where they can. They're not going down to the sports book and going to put a triple leg parlay on this week's NFL games. They're not going to Club Dre's this weekend to go get a table. They can't do none of that. So when y'all out here yapping y'all mouths talking, oh, it's a free trip to Vegas, they can't do no Vegas stuff. So stop with that nonsense of, oh, it's in Vegas. It's in Vegas. This ain't y'all Compton City Magic AAU team. We all can just come down here and just wale out at the doggone Adventure Dome. It don't work like that out here, player. Now, with that being said, I can tell y'all right now, the NBA in-season tournament bombed at the gate. Here's the thing. The semifinals happened Thursday. They happened Thursday. The quarterfinal games happened Monday and Tuesday. If you are a fan of the Indiana Pacers and you played on Monday or Tuesday, do you know how much of a short around turnaround time during the holidays that is for fans to be able to book their trips to Vegas? You're probably not going to be able to do it. I'm telling y'all right now because I'm the source, because I've seen this with my own eyes. I have the emails as receipts to show y'all I know what I'm talking about. The NBA had to give away thousands of tickets here to the local communities because no one was buying them tickets. So what they did was, a lot of these corporations ended up buying these tickets out and they gave them away free. I know this for a fact. I am the source because I got emails asking me if I wanted to go to the games for the Lolo. And I said, nah, because I'm going home to the Bay Area. And even if I was here, I probably wouldn't be going. So all this hoopla about, oh, it did great. No, it didn't. And the tickets that didn't get sold, they gave them away to the, you know, to these casinos just for the high limit rollers to come in and be like, hey man, I need tickets to, you know, I need something to do this weekend. And they give those away. That's how Vegas works, especially on things like that. They're lucky. The NBA is actually lucky that the LA Lakers was in as one of the finalist teams, because Las Vegas has a huge Los Angeles Lakers fan base outside of the Golden State Warriors. So that drive from LA to here actually it's fine. They can do that. But, you know, God forbid it was the Milwaukee Bucks against, I don't know, the New Orleans Pelicans. And speaking of the New Orleans Pelicans, I went out to dinner with my sister Thursday night. And by the time I got to the bar, I think it was like the late, like somewhere around the second half of the Pelicans Lakers game. So it was on there. And we were eating dinner. Hey man, I know my cousin Gio, I know my boy Kendall are listening to this show. I'm gonna need for y'all to go somewhere, and especially you, Gio, because you the damn mayor of New Orleans. You know everybody. I need for you to go find a dietitian and go send him over to Zion Williams' house. And if you get any word that he been over there at Cafe Dumont eating some beignets or going to get some etouffee from River Shack, no. Zion Williamson, enough is enough with this boy's diet. Come on, man. I'm fat and I love to eat, but I know right now if I had to get in shape, I got to give up. I got to push away. I got to push the table away. I got to push my chair back and be like, you know what, man? I can't do it. I don't know, after this offseason that Zion Williamson had with everything going on with the baby mama, the adult star going sicko mode on him, and everything else that was going on where the team wasn't even really backing him up, you would have thought he'd have came in here looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And lo and behold, he out here looking like Silly Putty. This was supposed, if anything, this could have been Zion Williams' little coming out party of him being like, yo, I'm the next dude. I'm that guy. I'm coming back. I'm making it happen. I am him. But he didn't. You know, Tyrese Halliburton is the guy, apparently, that made that leap to let him know that, hey, I'm the next American basketball star. And it was right there for Zion Williamson to make it happen, and he didn't. He just poo-pooed that away. So, hey, man, I'm telling y'all right now, Zion Williamson in New Orleans, I said that from Jump Street. That was a bad idea. He need to lay off them damn beignets and etouffee. He need to lay off them gator tails, gumbo. I know it's Monday today as of this recording, so I know it's red beans and rice on Monday. But he need to calm down, y'all. He really need to calm down. Otherwise, he's going to eat himself out the league, and it's going to be a wrap like Christmas for him. So, hey, I can actually finally start talking about some NBA starting this week, because I was on a low-key silent protest because I wasn't watching no in-season tournament. Here's the thing. It's not going to make me want to watch basketball anymore. Either I'm going to watch it or I'm not. I don't need no gimmick or some gimmick with a creative mode NBA 2K basketball court for me when I watch basketball. Either I'm going to watch it or I'm not. I clearly just didn't want to, because they were trying to force feed everyone to watch basketball. And for all y'all that fell for it, good for y'all. Good for y'all. I didn't fall for the gimmick. I'm not going to fall for the gimmick next year. And like I said, if you want to do the in-season tournament, here's how y'all had to do it. Get rid of the play-in games. Let teams 17 through 30 get into a winner-take-all single elimination tournament where the winning team gets a 10% chance of getting an additional 10% chance of getting the first-round draft pick. So if team 17, you know, the worst team with the league, ends up somehow winning the tournament, cool. They get more ping pong balls or whatever the case may be into their hat. They get more of those. If you're the team that had the best record and you just barely missed out on the playoffs, cool. Now you've got something to play for. But this whole notion that you all just out here playing for $500,000 when the average league salary is $9.5 million, that was stupid. You out here talking about, well, it's a free trip to Vegas. And them players ain't going to Dre's. Them players ain't going to Club Light. The players can't even do none of that stuff. And if they do, they can't be on the dance floor with y'all, because y'all going to be too worried about talking about y'all DraftKings with them. So cut it out, man. Cut it out. Hey, man. Y'all been listening to the Sports Business Podcast, available on all platforms, wherever you get your podcasts from. Google, Stitcher, Anchor, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, Apple. You find me, I'm there. Google me, we there. Before we get up out of here, we got to talk about this dummy of the day. And this team is actually lucky that they won yesterday. And that would be one Buffalo Bills head coach in Sean McDermott. Now, I have been already saying all year long that Sean McDermott's seat should be a little bit hot based off the fact that they've been very, very disappointed this year. But Sean McDermott, I guess, came out earlier this last week and talked about he retracted the statements of a team meeting that he had a couple of years ago where he credited the 9/11 hijackers for the coordination. This comes from CBS News. McDermott had cited the hijackers were stressing the importance of communication. Upon realizing how the message was being interpreted, McDermott called a second team meeting about an hour later to apologize to his players. First of all, what are you doing, bro? You talking about communicating and coordinating a plan on overthrowing the government. And I get what... I understand with the ideology of what he was trying to talk about. If anything, he should have talked about United Flight 93. You know, the flight that the passengers were able to overtake the terrorists. And unfortunately, they ended up crashing out there in Pennsylvania. But they ended up regaining control and they went down fighting. But they all communicated like, hey, we ain't going out like no chumps. We going to be fighting till the end, till the very end. You couldn't use that one? You went with Bin Laden and them boys? Whose side is you on, bruh? Like, what? So, I think his seat is... Like I said, if he don't make the playoffs this year, I think that seat is a little... He might be out of there. But that was just weird. And not to mention, you ain't making a lot of friends up there in Buffalo and in Orchard Park if people are out here digging up dirt on you for the last 4 years. So, I don't know what local media outlet or beat writer for the Bills that you done pissed off, but... It seems like there's a lot of things that are brewing out there in Buffalo that ain't looking good for him. There was another article that was talking about, my man Tyler Doom posted an article talking about Sean McDermott don't like to take accountability. And if anything, if the ship starts to sink early in the season, the first person to go was going to be the offensive coordinator. And what ended up happening? Ken Dorsey got fired. So it ain't really looking too good for the home team, for the Buffalo Bills. But Sean McDermott, come on, man. Come holler at your boy if you need some motivational speeches. I can give you a little bit more than coming up with the 9/11 hijackers. Like, bro, you're tripping. But anyways, that is the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. Like I said, you can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on Twitter /X at Sports Business. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Email me. Let me know what's the worst motivational speech you've ever heard in your life. I love to hear it. Anyways, we do the show once a week. We will be back out here next week. Until then, we are out.